They're back. The games of the 31st Olympiad are underway in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Opening ceremony is tonight. Our resident sports guy, Mark Hyman, has courageously and bravely withdrawn from the shot put event so that he could be here to give us a preview of what has been advertised as the largest summer games in history, with more than 11,000 athletes from more than 200 companies or countries, rather. By the way, Nathan Sterner will be taking Mark's spot on the shot put team.
And I will not win any medals.
But your final practice session, I understand, includes throwing me out of the building after the show.
If I could do that, maybe I would win a gold.
Mark, you'd certainly win a gold around this building. Mark Hyman is on the faculty of George Washington University and the author of several books, the latest of which is called Concussions and Our Kids. Mark is headed to Japan next week to teach a course in sports globalization through the GW School of Business. But before he goes, we thought we'd pick his brain about the granddaddy of all global sports events, the Olympics. Morning, Mark.
I just want to say that you and I look great in our Speedos this morning, but nothing compared to Nathan Sterner. Fantastic,
that's,
Nathan.
That's a thought that our poor listeners do not want to consider.
I don't want to consider that.
Really, exactly. So let's, you know, before we get going, let's take a step back here, Mark, and recap sort of how we came to have these Olympics in Rio, because if ever there had been a buildup that was more disconcerting, I mean, I just can't remember. It's kind of sport for media to concentrate on the disorganization and the, you know, dysfunction of host cities. But then, you know, the opening ceremony is happening, everything's great. But boy, Rio's really had some trouble. They've got polluted water, the crime spree that seems to be going on there. I mean, the torch itself was blocked by some protesters just yesterday. The Zika virus, which is obviously something they couldn't have anticipated 6 years ago when they beat out Madrid, Tokyo, and Chicago. But how did this come to be?
Now, given the negative publicity around the games right now, it's hard to believe that there is a process that leads to selection of a site, but there really is. Rio was selected 6 years ago. The other finalists were Madrid, Tokyo, and Chicago. And the process really, the beginning of the process is the IOC, 105 members of the IOC who are chosen from countries around the world, who vote on the cities after each city presents and offers the most compelling case why the games should be held there, and demonstrates that they can pull the games off, have the economic wherewithal to do it.
So the voting process, is it just like an up or down vote, and whoever gets the most votes the first time around wins, or how does that work?
Well, it's
because with four different contenders, I mean, you could if you did it that way, you could conceivably win with, you know, 26% of the vote.
The winning city needs a majority of the votes. So you start off, in this case, you started off with, what, four cities. And in round one of the voting, Madrid actually was in the lead with 28 votes. In round two, Madrid again. Rio pulled ahead in the second round, but didn't have a majority.
And in the second round, Chicago didn't make it. So the second round was just Tokyo, Rio, and Madrid.
Yeah, I should point out that each round, the city with the lowest number of votes drops out. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it required three rounds of voting before Rio got a majority and Madrid was second.
It's like electing a pope. Very strange.
Yeah, I think the IOC probably is somewhat regretful that they were not they did not give more consideration to Madrid. Which at the time, Spain was in the process of, you know, climbing out of a pretty deep economic recession. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably was a factor. But Madrid, I mean, Spain has demonstrated that they can host very successful games. So the games in 1992 were in Barcelona and regarded as one of the most successful summer games ever.
So about a year from now, the IOC will choose between Los Angeles, Paris, Budapest, and Rome. So the process will repeat itself. By the way, who's on the IOC? There's 105 people. Who are these people?
It's a pretty eclectic group. There are princes, kings, dukes, Jean-Claude Killy, who you may remember as a downhill skier from France in the 1968 games, won several gold medals in the downhill. He's on it. And your very close friend, Prince Albert of Monaco, is also a voter. So
and who chooses these folks? The current members of the IOC, they have terms that are limited, and when they go off, they vote for their successors?
Yes. I think you and I are not likely to be invited to join the IOC. It's a fairly august group and a very powerful one. Not only does it select the sites for the games, but the sports that are competed at the games are also selected by the IOC.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, they've decided to add a few sports for 2020 when the games are in Tokyo.
Yeah, this is interesting. Baseball and softball, which had not been in the games for several rotations, are going to be back for the 2020 games in Tokyo, which makes sense because baseball is you know, nearly a religion in Japan. It's also good news for China, which is trying to particularly for Major League Baseball's efforts to grow the sport in China, because China is very focused on the Olympic effort, and they put a lot of resources behind sports that are Olympic sports. So I expect baseball in China will get a big boost from this.
Of course, there's always complications. For example, I'm thinking the Summer Olympics, which are in July or August, I guess, that's right in the middle of Major League Baseball season. So will Major League Baseball players be able to play in the Olympics? How's that work?
Yeah, good question.
Because a lot of professional basketball players, I mean, Carmelo Anthony from Baltimore has already won 2 gold medals in basketball. He's going for a third this week.
Major League Baseball created its own international competition called the World Baseball Classic, which is competed every 4 years and occurs in the spring, in March, during spring training. And that was their kind of effort to create this parallel competition. And so I don't think that you're going to see Major League Baseball stop its season in August to, allow Adam Jones to play in the Olympics.
On 88.1 WIPR, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. My guest is our good friend Mark Hyman, who is an expert in all things sporting. He's on the faculty of George Washington University. So the IOC has had its share of scandal. Somewhat reminiscent of the FIFA, the Soccer Federation scandal. I mean, they seem to be past those scandals, but right here in the United States, when the games were held in Salt Lake, there were allegations proven, I guess, that some of the people on the committee were on the take.
Yeah, this goes back to the Salt Lake City games in 2002, and leading up to there's been a history of corruption and scandal regarding the selection process in the IOC. You can imagine the power and the temptation to offer inducements to the members of the IOC to get favorable treatment from them. And in the years leading up to the 2002 games and the awarding of those games, there were all sorts of allegations. In this case, it actually resulted in 2 indictments of members of the Salt Lake City Organizing Committee. One of the inducements that was offered was tuition to Brigham Young University for a member of the IOC's, the son of an IOC member from Libya. So that's the kind of thing that was being
That was the thing that Mitt Romney came in to clean up, right? That was the mess that he came in to fix, right?
Yeah, that was really the rise to prominence of Mitt Romney. He did a great job of, cleaning up the situation, creating some credibility for that effort.
Of course, the political situation in Brazil, very unstable. The president has been impeached. There's an ongoing legal battle about who's going to retain political power. Is that the root of the cause of what appears to be some pretty high levels of dysfunction in getting ready for the games?
Now, the IOC often has a choice. Either it can award the games to countries that have held the Olympic Games before and done a very successful job in doing it. And these are countries in Western Europe primarily, and Japan has held a number of very successful games, the U.S. Those are safe choices. Then there are other choices in the developing world, which are much less safe. We saw this in Sochi for the most recent Winter Games. Rio is another example, because there have never been an Olympic Games in South America. So the IOC likes to take...
So that's a big plus that they put them in Rio?
It is a big plus. And it is one of the IOC's missions to spread the Olympic movement throughout the world and share, this spectacle in parts of the world where, it rarely is... where there have no been no previous Olympic Games. But when you do that, you risk the kinds of challenges that we're seeing now. You know, Rio has had a lot of trouble getting the venues ready. You're going to hear a lot about, you know, whether the Olympic Stadium is ready, whether the housing for the athletes is up to par. And in fact, the U.S. delegation, the USOC, sent basically a team of handymen, you know, like contractors with the team to just make sure that the toilets were working in the dorms and that the rooms were, you know, up to standards.
It's one of the consequences of all of this is that I guess there are fewer cities vying to be Olympic hosts. I mean, the U.S. city that we thought was going to be in the running for the next time around was Boston, but it turned out to be L.A. How did that happen?
Well, that's interesting. The games have the games are hugely expensive. The Sochi games cost $51 billion to put on. And the countries that host the games typically take a very significant loss. Boston was chosen by the USOC to be the U.S. representative, and the people of Boston just decided, we don't want any part of this. This is going to bankrupt the city.
Interesting. Well, we will see how it goes. The opening ceremony is tonight. Mark Hyman, thanks so much, and safe travels. Have a great time in Japan.
Thank you, Tom.
Mark Hyman is on the faculty of George Washington University and the author of several books, the latest of which is called Concussions and Our Kids, opening ceremony of the Rio Olympic Games tonight on NBC. After a break for the news, I'll be back with our movie mavens, Jed Dietz and Ann Hornaday. Lots to talk about in the world of cinema. We'll have that for you in just a few minutes. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Our shot put champion, Nathan Sterner, ladies and gentlemen.